For me, I'm trying to tell a story and get folks to understand the impact of a wish that weren't necessarily impacted by a wish directly, right? And so I look at a lot of our donors and the events that we go to, and I'm in awe. I give back through Make-A-Wish and to tell a story to show the true impact of the donations and the generosity that these donors are making these wishes come true. But then I look at the donors and the people that are contributing, and they haven't been directly touched as a family, and most of them, right? And I'm just in awe by that, right? And so to share, if I can share a story and show really the impact of that, and it can help a family, the child, make a wish for the child, but the family. I think that's something that makes me feel good, and I think it's the right thing to do. I'm a firm believer that it's important to give back to our communities that we live in, we work, and we play. This one's a personal impact for me, and I love sharing the story, right? Because it's impactful.
Welcome to The World of Wishes, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories of hope, resilience, and the incredible impact of Make-A-Wish. I'm your host, Richard Kelly, and today we have a truly special guest joining us. Chuck Stauffer's connection to Make-A-Wish began 20 years ago when his son Logan had a wish granted to visit Walt Disney World, a magical experience that brought joy and unforgettable memories to their family. Now, two decades later, Chuck is giving back in a big way, serving as chair of our Southwest Florida Advisory Board. His dedication to paying it forward is a testament to the lasting power of a wish, and we can't wait to hear his story of gratitude, hope, and making dreams come true for other children. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to World of Wishes. It's great to have you.
Oh, thanks for being here, Richard. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I want to talk about all of the different things that you're involved with Make-A-Wish and with philanthropy out here in Southwest Florida. But first, I want to talk about Logan, talk about your son and his wish and sort of his medical challenges or journey leading up to his wish.
So Logan, first of all, I'll start off, he's a 23-year-old young man, and so all of you out there that have a 23-year-old young man, he'll fit right in, the challenges and the fun things that come along with that. But early on in Logan's life, he was diagnosed pre-birth, actually, in utero with a congenital heart disease, and we knew when he was going to be born, he was going to need at least two open heart surgeries. We were fortunate that he did not need one right at birth. So he's kind of an interesting anatomy. His body just didn't form his organs where they're supposed to be and how they should be. Mom and I talked about, what science and what medicine will do in the future. And let's give Logan a chance, right? Because it's that frightening moment where the doctors are telling you that, your son may not make it, past birth. And we put a lot of hope into science and medicine, and Logan was born. He was a healthy, almost 8-pound young man at that point, baby. And he had his first open heart surgery when he was 6 months old. We spent almost four weeks in the hospital. They actually let us out of the hospital right before Christmas so we could spend Christmas at home, or he could spend Christmas at home with his sister and the family. His next surgery was when he was about 2.5 years old, and that's, we've been lucky. He's had two major open heart surgeries on the heart lung bypass machine, and he's had a couple of little minor things there, and we call them minor in the scheme of things, but removing stents and moving some things around. And as of now, he's, like I said, a 23-year-old healthy young man. He will likely need a transplant in 20 years from now, but we got 20 years till then, and the science and the medicine that we've been fortunate that allows him to do things and be a productive part of the society and get a job and do the things that we didn't know were possible. So we'll take the 20 more years and see where we are when he's in his 40s.
I can't imagine how scary that is, for parents that have kids that have colds and they're a wreck. I can't imagine how scary that is for a child with a heart issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrifying. We found out, we talk about this a lot, Logan and his mom and I, and even his sister, we found out that Logan was going to be born with a complex congenital heart defect 16 weeks in utero. And I often think, you know, that gives you a lot of time to process what's going on. And on the good side, you start to process it. On the bad side, you do research, and some of that outcome is not good, right? It's not the thing. So you learn a lot, you get terrified by it. And then on the flip side, you know, there are kids out there where their families find something that's a diagnosis and immediately hits them. So I would say that the information with us when it was shared was shocking. Obviously, it's terrifying. You know, you think of the heart and how can you fix this, right? And you don't want it to happen to you. You don't want it to happen to your child. But it becomes more difficult when you see them. When you see the child going through moments that you know are painful. But, you know, as a parent, and I share this a lot, as a parent, you're making the right choices for your child, but you can't control the pain. You can't control the things that they're going through. And the things that are maybe being taken away from them or they can't participate in, right? Whether you said a cold, whether it's winter season is coming and now you're worried about RSV and pneumonia and those types of illnesses and how they impact your child so they can't be there. So it changes a lot of your perspective. But you know, you look at your child and you know you're doing the right thing, even though it is causing some pain and discomfort. And that's something that remarkably they handle better than you do. I found Logan handled that better than we did.
Yeah.
And credit to the medical teams and the staff and the nurses and the PAs that really make that happen. But they handle it. They're a lot more resilient than we are. I found that out. Children are a lot more resilient than us adults. Mm-hmm, so
for sure. And then Make-A-Wish comes into your life. Mm-hmm. And do you remember that period? It's been a couple decades. Do you remember that period when Make-A-Wish came into your life and said, you know, your son can have a wish, and what does he want to wish for?
Yeah, I do. Well, ironically, I'll tell you, it's scary at first, mm-hmm. right? Because this was 20 years ago. You know, Logan's 23, and he had his wish when he was 3.5, 4 years old. I associated it with terminal. Mm-hmm. Right. And I find that I'm not the only one. As I talk to wish families now in Southwest Florida, we were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. At the time, you know, I find that, first of all, that's a common, right? People have shared that with me. And so at first you're like, wait a minute, I thought he was going to be okay. Or we have at least a path forward, so to speak, to take care of this. So that was the first kind of reaction from the doctor that shared that with us. And then, from there, when the wish team kind of enters the process in your life, it's a little bit of a whirlwind, right? Because, you know, we weren't completely out of the medical procedure part of this still. And so it's trying to think of happy and good things that you want to do. And still, you're still the chaos, if you will, of going back and forth to hospitals and doctor's appointments. And, you know, Logan has an older sister. And so still making sure Taylor, who was 6 at the time, 5, 6 years old, is getting the attention that she needs, starting school and things like that. So, I would tell you that Make-A-Wish made things easy. And it's not all about just the wish, which I thought was kind of interesting for me. It's about the things that go around that experience. You know, Logan got to go on a fire truck just because, right? The you find these wish volunteers and staff that try to build more than just the wish. And it's making, you know, a wish come true, but also all these little cool things that go along around that experience. So it's not just, I would say a shot in the dark is probably the wrong way to say it, but it creates a week, months long experience for Logan, at least. That's what I recall when the wish team entered.
Mm-hmm. And Disney World was his wish selection. Do you remember if there were other choices involved or was Disney though?
Disney was it. His sister loved the Disney movies, so I think Logan was going to watch Disney movies no matter what.
Right.
There were all the Cinderellas and things like that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that was easy. Taylor might have been whispering in his ear. I don't know.
maybe some influence there.
But it was absolutely the wish that he wanted, and I think at that age that made sense, we were really excited about that, and as was the wish team.
Had you been before? Had your daughter been before? Had your son been before?
We had never been to Disney World.
Okay.
And we were all excited, right? It was an opportunity to spend some time together and really we were blown away. I mean, I'm sure we can talk and dive into that a little bit, but we were super excited about it.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned spending time together, because we do hear that quite a bit, how the dealing with a child's illness can kind of fracture a family from many different perspectives, but just from a physical perspective, how you have one parent that's at the hospital, one parent that's home, and your siblings and all of that stuff. Did you find that was the case in your family?
Absolutely. It's it's hard enough, managing the back and forth to hospitals. We were fortunate in the location. Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh is one of the top ranked hospitals, particularly in what he needed done. But you don't leave the side of your child's bed, and I mean all the time, overnight. And what I found pretty quickly, and I'm pretty analytical type A kind of guy, is you are the primary caregiver for your child, right? Certainly the doctors are there and the nurses are there and the PAs are there, but ask questions. That's something that I found really soon, right? And not because of medical errors, and it's just what's going on. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we spent every moment as a single parent, right? Because we had the other one crossing. So mom and I crossed, every day, high-fived in the parking lot, yeah. and crossing and still making sure that we, Taylor had what she needed at home. And we were fortunate that we had family support, right? I look at some of these families that are staying at like the Ronald McDonald house and things like that. And gosh, I mean, it's hard enough dealing with it, let alone not having local, family surrounding us. So that certainly did help. But the longest stay we had was 27 days, and that was 27 days that I can tell you with certainty that we didn't spend time together as a family.
For sure.
Mom and I crossed and made sure that we got things done at home, and Taylor was taken care of, and somebody was always there to take care of Logan in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Disney and how what an experience that was. So tell us what the experience was like. We sort of have an idea of a Disney wish being 6 days and five nights and staying, give kids the world. But take us into your first Disney trip and doing it Make-A-Wish style.
Yeah, I mean, it starts well before then. It starts in the limo ride to the airport. It starts when you walk on the plane and the pilot says, come on over here and sit up front, and see it, and, upgrading to first class and things. I mean, it's every moment is an experience, and it's before you even get to Disney World or give kids the world. And not even experiencing Disney World was one thing, but not even knowing what Give Kids the World is totally different, right? So when you have a completely stress-free, and kids are stressful, right? I say that, right?
For sure.
And so for us, yep, to have children, most people tell me when you go to Disney, you need a vacation afterwards as mom and dad, right? Because it's very high yep. energy. Yep. It's a complete stress-free, and everybody is there to make things easy and as fun for the family. And I say that specifically, not just the wish child.
Mm-hmm.
So walking in to Give Kids the World and staying in your villa where, it's the little thing. It's not us. Hotel rooms are fine, but you have space. You can spread out. You can feel comfortable. You can feel like you're at a home.
Mm-hmm.
And everything feels safe. Everything feels that it's at your fingertips. Right. And the children and Logan and Taylor alike, and I know that I've told many people this the Make-A-Wish team does a great job of making sure that we're not isolating the other family,
mm-hmm.
and particularly the child.
Right.
Right. And so it was an experience for Logan, and it was an experience for Taylor as well. So that was kind of our first interaction. I will tell you that they loved the unlimited ice cream.
Yeah,
and go get it. who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like that?
Yep.
So, but it was really an experience, where Disney, we flew and came to Disney, but when you're in Disney and you're in Give Kids the World, they're then coming to you.
Yeah.
And it's this really unique experience. My kids have told me that spoiled it going forward. Every time they go back to Disney, it's ruined. So it's spoiled. It's Sorry. Ruined. But that was a great experience.
Yeah. So were there any parts of that experience that week that were, you mentioned little things that were underrated to you, that was a little thing where you looked into your son's eyes or your daughter's eyes or looked at anything and said, okay, this is the other side of what we were dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you go back to what we were just talking about sooner, is there's not a lot of family time when you're dealing with these illnesses, right? And when you're kind of managing your way through it. And so, you know, it's a long time ago for me, but I can tell you, I remember sitting at Give Kids the World and sitting as a family in the round table with the candy, little red and white candy things. I can't remember what the tabletop, whatever they're called. And we're just laughing and we're spending time together, and everything that's going on around them is exciting. It's smiles. It's, you know, you're in Disney, but you're experiencing it together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that 20 years ago, I still remember that sitting around the table and at Give Kids the World. And once you get over to Disney, it's, I think the biggest experience for the kids is there's no waiting in lines, right? It's, they make it very easy. Understanding that, you know, you're trying to see a lot and spending time with the characters, but really kind of at the end of the day, going back to the villa, spending time together, we'd walk around, Give Kids the World. You're leaving all the worries kind of aside for a while, right? And that's a big thing. I mean, you have there's a lot going on, because when you come back, you know, home, there's doctor's appointments again, right? There are things that are going on that go back into that space, and that gives you a really kind of good moment. And I know Logan still remembers that.
Yeah. How often do you reflect on it, talk about it, look through pictures? How often do you recall the wish experience or that period of time in your lives?
Yeah, I mean, I share a lot locally, right? So I'll share that in two different ways, right? So personally, you know, being, you know, on the advisory board here in Southwest Florida, I talk a lot about it. So it's very important to me to talk about the wish and the impact it has on me and my family. You know, Logan and I talk about it. I would tell you every time we're together, we bring up something about the Make-A-Wish. And some of it is, I like to talk about, he still sees medical professionals, right? Mm-hmm. And so we talk about what's going on there and how things are progressing. And I like to dampen it a little bit and say, you know, of what we went through together, right? And some of the fun things that we did. And so I think you have to, right? You have to keep, you know, looking back and remembering those things. And so a lot of it is memories now, and it's more verbal than it is pictures. Yeah. But we talk about those.
Yeah. And you said that Logan is doing well now, and he's 23, and you know, still dealing with, you know, with, he'll be dealing with heart issues his whole life, but he's still dealing with it, but generally he's a healthy person.
Yeah, I tell everybody, unless you saw scars on his chest, so you took him to the beach, you'd see, right? Yeah. Other than that, he's as normal of a 23-year-old young man, looking, acting and behaving. And, you know, he has some health, you know, athletic restrictions, right? You know, but, you know, he's had those. It's interesting. I always say to him, we talk about this all the time, you know, we never took away that he was a football player, because he never could be a football player. Right. Right. And so there's some laugh in that, but I do take some kind of a little bit of a joy in that we didn't have to take something away, because there's so many kids out there that are, they love a sport, and then and something happens, and sure, they make it through that illness or that incident, but you're taking that away. And we never had to do that with Logan. It was, so I always say that he you know, he found outlets, and he was a black belt in karate. You know, that was one of the things that he excelled at, and he could do, and he could compete with his peers growing up in that sport, right? And so we found the things that he enjoyed doing, and we still lean in on those.
Yeah. You mentioned about being on the advisory board in Southwest Florida for Make-A-Wish, and you're not just on the advisory board, you're the chair of it. Why did you feel like it was important to give back, to be involved in Make-A-Wish again, even though you know, the wish happened 20 years ago. It happened in a different state. You've since moved a couple of times and have landed in Southwest Florida. Why was it important? Have you felt like it's important to seek Make-A-Wish out and become involved again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that first of all, it's Make-A-Wish is a big part of who I am, and I think that it was a big part of our family. But I also like give back in a lot of different ways in organization. I think that's very important. From a Make-A-Wish perspective, I think it's, you know, for me, I'm trying to tell a story and get folks to understand the impact of a wish that weren't necessarily impacted by a wish directly, right? And so I look at a lot of our donors and the events that we go to, and I'm in awe. You know, I give back through Make-A-Wish and to tell a story, to show the true impact of the donations and the generosity that these donors are making these wishes come true. But then I look at the donors and the people that are contributing, and they haven't been directly touched as a family, and most of them, right? And I'm just in awe by that, right? And so to share, if I can share a story and show really the impact of that, and it can help a family, the child make a wish, the wish for the child, but the family, you know, I think that that's something that makes me feel good, and I think it's the right thing to do. I'm a firm believer that it's important to give back to our communities that we live in, we work, and we play. You know, this one's a personal impact for me, and I love sharing the story, right? Because you know, it's impactful. You know, 20 years later, it is.
What sort of reaction do you get when you are introduced to a donor, potential donor, and you tell them, you know, that you're a wish dad, that this is more personal for you than for most? What kind of reaction do you get to this story when you tell your son's story and you tell of your affiliation or how you were introduced to Make-A-Wish?
So ironically, the first thing I'll say to that is they thank me for what I'm doing, which is just completely, you know, flip-flop for me, right? And so it's backwards for me, right? And so, you know, I'm thanking you as a potential donor or a donor. You know, most of the time the reaction is how is he doing, right? Yeah. Obviously. And, you know, how do you manage through that? I'm sorry that it happened. And, you know, it's this, most people are in awe or they feel bad for you and you know, that you've gone through something like that. And so, and that's not what I'm looking for, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that message, but that's typically the reaction you get as they're thanking you for being part of what we're doing as a cause for Make-A-Wish. But, normally it's that, you know, I'm sorry kind of mentality that you had to go through that, but you know, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah.
It's molded my son. It's molded who I am in as a professional and a person. And, so, you know, it makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. And I certainly can tell you it did it for my son and I.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned how inspiring, donors are, especially those, well, they all are, but especially those that have never been touched by a wish, that they're not a wish dad, they're not a wish grandpa or an uncle. They just understand the need and they understand the importance and the impact that a wish can have. So, we see that quite a bit. And that's what inspires. I know that I get inspired by that, by people that they're just philanthropic. They're just, they see the need, they see the impact, and they just want to help. And I think that's, you know, that goes across the board. And we talked before we started recording, we talked about philanthropy just in general and how important that is. And you're a philanthropic person. It's not just Make-A-Wish, you're not just Make-A-Wish focused, but you do a lot of different things. So why is that important to you? Why is that important for you to give back to other organizations that you haven't benefited from or you haven't been personally affected by? Why is philanthropy important and why is giving back important for you personally?
So, you know, there's a couple things for me on this, and I've given back through a lot of different organizations, you know, Make-A-Wish being one here in Southwest Florida, but Big Brothers and Big Sisters and Boys and Girls Clubs and American Heart Associations. I've been on different boards. And it's really two things come to mind for me on this, and I talk a lot about it, is one, I think it's leadership, right? It's how can I help an organization get their message out? Right. And how can I help an organization reach out to the public and the people that are around to tell our story. So, you know, I think that it's something I'm passionate about. It's something that, that you know, I've had some success in. So I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. And I think second of all is we get so caught up in chaos of life and what's going on around us. And, you know, whether it be, you know, news or whatever's going on, I feel most people, when you talk to them, want to do the right thing and they want to help out. And I'm not saying it needs to be some, you know, multi hundred thousands of dollars of donations. When you can sit down and tell a story and how they're impacting a life, most people feel really good about that. And so I love telling that story. I love being able to see the successes of that. So, you know, whether it be seeing a wish get granted or building a playground for a Boys and Girls Club that I was a member of, it's seeing that happen, and it's seeing it happen through the community involvement and impact. I'm a huge believer, and I said it earlier, that it's important that as a person and a professional that we take the time to be able to give back and impact. Mm-hmm. And it gets kind of contagious, right, in a positive way that you start doing that. And so, I think it's really important for me. I love seeing it. I love seeing the successes of it. I love connecting with the communities, bringing those people together with the cause that's important to them. Because, you know, Make-A-Wish is one that's very near and dear, but what is the cause that's important to you,
right?
And so I think bringing those people together makes for a stronger, healthier community.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I'm going to ask you to just put your Make-A-Wish hat on right now, Make-A-Wish as the advisory board chair, and just, you know, tell me how, you know, tell our listeners how they can get involved. What's the best way? What's the niche? Where is most of the help needed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that donations are really important for us. You know, our wishes, you know, we don't pass any of that onto the expense, onto the Wish family. There's, you know, as a Wish father, there's a lot of burden there. And to even think about making something like this happen is unfathomable for most Wish families, mm-hmm. right? So I think that the donations are really helpful. We have you know, several donor events where you can come out, whether it's something as very formal as our Wishmakers parties or the mac and cheese challenge that mm-hmm. we just had that's put mm-hmm. on by an amazing youth leadership team or Cornerstone Society. You know, one of the things that I'm a firm, you know, supporter and believer of is our Cornerstone Society, where we have our donors that are making a 5-year commitment to make a wish, to make dreams and make wishes come true. And it's you don't have to think about it, right? I'm making that commitment to make a wish. I'm making this commitment to the children that are going to get that wish. So I would say reach out to your local Southwest Florida or South Florida chapter and speak to us about that. We're happy to come out. We're happy to call you and be a part of that. But I think that the donor is a big piece of it. And then the referral side of it is important, right? If you you know someone that is suffering from a life-threatening critical illness, speak to their medical provider. You know, send them our way. You know, it's important that, you know, we're trying to touch every one of them. We're trying to make wishes happen and come true. And so, you know, we'll take those referrals as well.
Well, that's the piece. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is the piece that is an extremely underrated part of the contribution to Make-A-Wish, because every wish starts with a referral. Mm-hmm. Your son's wish started with a referral. And, you know, children are generally referred by medical professionals, but not all the time. And then, you know, neighbors, and sometimes the kids refer themselves and the parents refer them. So, and so anybody can refer a child, and then we go through a process of getting them medically qualified and then figuring out what their wish is. But, you know, your son Logan's wish started with a referral. Every wish starts with a referral. So again, I'm glad you mentioned that, and all of the different ways that people can get involved and make a wish and contribute to this movement and paying it forward for many, many other Wish kids in the future. Well, we're going to wrap. So Chuck, I really do love, I love speaking with you and appreciate having you on here and appreciate your ambassadorship and your advocacy for our organization. And thank you for playing an important part of what we do for the last 20 years and then moving forward for many more years to come. And appreciate all that you do and everybody that's listening. You know, on behalf of them, we appreciate you, and looking forward to a lot more years of granting wishes and changing lives in Southwest Florida and beyond.
Yeah, well, thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
Thanks to Chuck, and thank you for listening to this special episode of World of Wishes, produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. To learn more about how you can join Chuck in helping make wishes come true, visit us at wish.org/SFLA. We also ask for your help in supporting this podcast by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcast, and tell a friend. You can also listen to our archive shows at worldofwishespodcast.org.